Okay. I'll give you a word of encouragement. This one's a little shorter. The reason is I need to go back to Waco tonight. No. We're going to look at Daniel 70 weeks. Have you ever studied that prophecy? If you just read the text in the ninth chapter of Daniel, about 4 or 5 verses, you would throw your hands up and say, I don't understand one word of that. So we're going to get into just that text tonight, but we're going to do something prior to that. We're going to talk about 2 periods of time, each of them 490 years. 490. We're going to look back 490 years from Daniel's day. Remember, I kept saying in 586 BC, Babylon conquered Israel, led them off to captivity. Daniel was in that group of folks. God made this prophecy through Daniel while he was in captivity in Babylon. That was 2,500 years ago. Now, before we get to that, I want to look at 490 years prior to that captivity. So we go back almost 3,000 years to do that. Do you know why they were taken into captivity? Well, I'm going to tell you. Let's look at Exodus 23. God gave Israel a command. He said, you will sow your field for 6 years and gather its yield. But on the 7th year, you shall let it rest and lie fallow, so that the needy of your people may eat, and whatever they leave, the beast of the field may eat. You are to do the same with your vineyard and with your olive grove. God's command. Let's look at another one. The Lord then spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I shall give you, then the land shall have a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field. 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its crop. But the 7th year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field, nor prune your vineyard. Pretty clear, isn't it? What God told them they needed to do. God gave them a warning. If you don't do this, here's the warning. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. But if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, I will make the land desolate so that your enemies who settle in it will be appalled over it. You, however, I will scatter among the nations and will draw out a sword after you as your land becomes desolate and your cities become waste. Then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths, just like he commanded, all the days of the desolation, while you are in your enemy's land. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. All the days of its desolation, it will observe the rest, which you did not observe on your Sabbaths, while you were living on it. He says, if you don't do what I tell you, I'll jerk you out of that land and it will catch up on its Sabbath. Now, God's judgments. This whole land will be a desolation and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. For thus says the Lord, when the 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place or to your land. And in 2 Chronicles, it says, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths, all the days of its descendants it kept Sabbath until 70 years were complete. So, he told them to let it rest every seventh year. They missed 70 of those Sabbaths. That's 490 years. He pulled them out, took them into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. That land sat idle. And it made up for the Sabbaths. Is there any application in this for us today? Oh my goodness. If we just do what God tells us, life would be so much better. I'm talking to myself. God, when He tells us what to do, it's not a choice. He says, this is what I want, and if you don't do it, there's going to be consequences. And it hasn't changed to this day. Let me put a little diagram up here. We're looking back. 70 times 7 sabbatical years were violated. That's 490 years. So they went into captivity for 70 years to let the land rest. And this was Daniel's day. He was in captivity with them. Okay? Now we're going to look forward from Daniel's time, 490 years. And this is Daniel's 70-week prophecy. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel begins to pray. Now, his body's in Babylon, but his heart and his mind is still in his land, where he did dwell, in Jerusalem. And while he was praying, the angel Gabriel came to Daniel and basically interpreted his prayer. And in Daniel, starting in 9:24, we're going to be looking at these. Now, I can tell you right now, you are about to get lost. But hang on, because at the end, I think I can clarify it. We need to go through these scriptures first, and then we're going to make it much simpler, I think. Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks have been decreed. In Scripture, everyone's in agreement, a week is not 7 days. A week is 7 years. I don't know why they didn't just say 70 years, you know. But a week, or 7 years. A week is 7 years. And it says 70 weeks have been decreed. 70 times 7 years is 490 years. So this prophecy is for 490 years into the future that was being given to Daniel. For your people, and your holy city. That's Jerusalem, and that's Israel. Number one, to finish the transgression. What that means is, it's going to take 490 years for Israel to stop denying that Jesus is the Messiah. Okay? Now you're already looking at me like, that was 2,500 years ago. But hang on. Number two, to make an end of sin. That's Israel's national sins, which will end at the second coming when Israel finally accepts Christ as the Messiah. And then number three, to make atonement for wickedness. And that atonement comes through the death and resurrection of Christ. Number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. When are we going to have everlasting righteousness? When Christ comes back and sets up his millennial reign on earth. Number five, to seal up vision and prophecy. There's not going to be need for any other prophecy from God. His plan is complete. He's revealed what he needs to reveal. And finally, number six, to anoint the most holy place. In the millennial kingdom, there will be a temple. And this is what it's talking about, is sanctifying and of the future of that millennial kingdom. Hang in there with me. So, go back to our diagram. We've looked back 490 years. We found out why they ended up in captivity. Now we're going to look forward 70, it says, weeks times 7 years, which is 490 years in the future. Now let's go to Daniel 9, 25 and 26. So you are to know and discern that, one, from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince, that's Jesus, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now don't worry, we're going to have a chart in a minute that's going to help you to see this. So this makes up, out of those 70 weeks, in 7 plus 62, which is 69 weeks times 7, 483 years, the Messiah will come. Christ will come. Number two, it will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. That's Jerusalem and the temple. And if you recall the story, when they went back to rebuild it, it was not an easy chore. Some of their neighbors got upset. So it was during a time of distress. Number three, then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. Christ will be crucified. By the way, I have a chart I'm going to do in a minute, and I have a handout for you. So, see some of you writing furiously. And then number four, and that's when Christ will be crucified. And then finally, number four, the people of the Prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end there will be war, desolations are determined. And the people of the Prince that are to come is the Romans who destroyed the temple. Remember, like Jesus said in his Olivet Discourse, they're going to come in, there won't be one stone on top of another. That's what this is prophesying. And it happened in 70 AD, about 35 years after Christ ascended back to heaven. Now, the dates I'm going to give you come from a man by the name of Dr. Harold Honer. Dr. Honer was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary for many years. He spent his life, or a big part of it, researching the chronology of Christ. When was he born? What date on the calendar. Was he born? How long did he live? When did he enter Jerusalem? When was he crucified? And so forth. He has a book out called The Chronology of Christ. There are others that have studied this, and they vary. They might vary a whole year, or maybe a few months, or a few days. But I've heard Dr. Honer speak on this, and I know how much research he's done. He did it from biblical studies and from secular studies, a bigger part of his life, and came up with these dates. So the chart I'm going to give you is based on two dates that Dr. Honer has come up with. You may say, well, are you sure it's accurate? I'm sure it's awfully close. And I'll show you something why I think it's accurate to the day. The years start on March 5th, 444 B.C. Now, you see it says that, let me go back. Let me read you this in Nehemiah first. This is a long passage. And it came about in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that wine was before him. Now this is when they were in captivity. And I took up the wine and gave it to the king. That's what Daniel was doing. He was serving the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. You didn't want to be sad when you went to see the king. So the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, though you're not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart." Then I was very much afraid, Daniel said. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire?" Talking about Jerusalem. Then the king said to me, "What would you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make the beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house to which I will go. And the king, King Artaxerxes, granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. So he said, "I am dying, king, to go back and rebuild Jerusalem and the walls." And the king said, "I'm going to grant that." That decree from the king, Dr. Honer says, was on March the 5th, 444 B.C. I've seen others that have researched it and said, no, it's 445 B.C. But we're going to go with Dr. Honer tonight. Now, I want you to note something. Israel was taken into captivity in 586 B.C. This prophecy was given to Daniel later in captivity in 537 B.C. Daniel died the next year in 536 B.C. And this decree that was in this prophecy didn't come about by King Artaxerxes until Nehemiah went to him in 444 B.C., which Daniel had been dead for 92 years. Daniel had no clue what this prophecy was about. The angel Gabriel told him what to write. He wrote it. It was from God. He followed the orders of the angel, wrote this prophecy, and he could not have had a clue what it was about because it didn't even start for 92 years after his death. I wonder sometimes if we're like that. When we ask, God asks us to do something, and we do it, and we spend the rest of our lives saying, why? Why would have He had me do that? And maybe we go on to be with the Lord, and it might be 50 years later that a family member begins to understand what our following God's command meant to them. Okay, now let's see if we can simplify this a little bit. You may say it confuses you, but we're going to try to see. I'm going to put a chart up on the board, and this is what we're going to pass out. We're dealing with the Jews, and their calendar had 360 days, not 365 like ours. So let's put this chart up. This 490 years, 70 years, it says, 70 weeks times 7 years, 490 years, begins when King Artaxerxes gave the decree. That's what Scripture says. Dr. Honer says that was March 5th, 444 B.C. And remember, it said there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which is 69 weeks, which is 483 years. That 483 years would have ended on March 30th, 33 A.D. Now let me show you how that works. There were 7 weeks decreed, which is 49 years. And then there are 62 weeks decreed in the verses we just read, which is 434 years. If you add those together, you get 69 weeks, and that's 483 years. Out of the 490 total prophecy. If you multiply 483 years by 360 days in each year on the Jewish calendar, you get 173,880 days. That those 69 weeks would be complete. You say, yeah, but that's Jewish calendar. Well, let's convert it to our calendar. From 444 to 33 A.D. is 476 years. Now, you look at that and you say, well, if you add those together, that's 477 years. But we've gone from B.C. to A.D. You can't count the year zero, or you'd be having an extra one in there. I got up real late one night, and I finally figured that out. If you went from 1 B.C. to 1 A.D., that's 1 year. If you add them together, it's two. So you can't count the year zero. Okay? Now, so that's 476 years. How many days are in our year? 365? Not quite. Every fourth year, we have a leap year. So I guess there's 365.25 days in our year. Not quite. You may not know this, but if a leap year falls on a millennial year, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, you don't take the leap year that year. This is all to keep everything completely synchronized with our clocks and the rotation of the earth. So actually, you can look in an encyclopedia on this, our day is 365.2421-9879 days. That's how many days are in our year. If you multiply that out, you get 173,855 days. Well, that's different than 173,880. But we're dealing with whole years. March 5th, but it ends on March 30th. So we have to add those days, which is 25 days. And when you add the two together, 173,880, which is exactly what was prophesied on the Jewish calendar. Are you with me? I don't see a whole lot of yeses. Okay. Then we've covered 69 weeks, or 483 years out of the 490 years. And then there is a pause. By the way, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Then there is a pause between the 69th week, which we've accounted for, and the 70th week, Daniel's 70th week. And we know now that that pause is the church age. That's where we are today. We are living in a pause. Thank goodness. Now, we've got to account for the last week in this prophecy to get the 490 years that were prophesied. And in the last verse in Daniel 9:27, it says, "He will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, which is 7 years." Guess what that covenant is? It's the covenant that the Antichrist is going to make with Israel at the beginning of the tribulation. Okay? And he says, well, let's go back here. That 70th week is the tribulation. We accounted for 483 years, and that date of March 30th, 33 AD, is when Christ made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the week before he was crucified. And that's what it says, the king will come. And that's when he came formally as king. You remember that story. He came riding on a donkey. They had palm leaves. And the Jews told him, "Calm these people down. They're shouting for you. We don't like that." I love that story. He said, "If I tell them to be quiet, the stones will cry out, yelling for me." But that's what that date is, March 30th, 33 AD. Go back to our scripture. "But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate." Now we're in the final week, our final 7 years, and that is the period of tribulation. And in the middle of it, after 3.5 years, remember on the chart I gave you last night? That's when the Antichrist says, "I've decided I'm God." He enters the temple and desecrates it and says, "From now on, you will worship me." Okay? And lines perfectly up with the prophecy back in Daniel. And then last, "Even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate." If you will remember in the fifth bowl judgment, which would be the 18th judgment that God pours out, he pours out a bowl of wrath on the Antichrist. And that's what it's talking about. Now, let's go back to our chart for just a minute. Now we have accounted for all 490 years of the prophecy. And this is what's important to understand. 483 years began with the decree of Artaxerxes to go back and rebuild. March 30th, 33 AD is when Christ entered as king Jerusalem. 1 week later, he was crucified. Then we're in a pause, and we're in that pause right now. That pause ends when the Antichrist is revealed, the church is raptured, and the tribulation goes for 1 week, which is 7 years. Keep in mind that Daniel had no idea of a church age. He didn't know there was going to be a pause. He had never heard the word church. The church didn't begin until after Christ had come. He didn't know this. He was just writing what he was told. This prophecy was for and about the Jews. But God had a plan for his church. And this is why there is an interruption between the 69th and the 70th week of the prophecy. Hallelujah. Because if there wasn't an interruption, a pause, we wouldn't be here. And we would have no access to salvation. It's in that pause, that interruption, when Christ came and said, the Jews are refusing, take my salvation to the Gentiles also. And if there hadn't been for that break in that prophecy, we would be up a creek. If Daniel's prophecy is accurate to the day of the 483 years, and I believe it was, to the very day, and why wouldn't it have been? God made the prophecy. But if it's accurate to the day for 483 years, I have no problem whatsoever believing there is a coming seventh week of 7 years that will be exactly 7 years. Why would I doubt it? It's been perfect to the day so far. You ever get up in the morning and it's like I carry around a bucket full of faith? Some mornings I get up and it's just full to the top. I get up the next morning, it's almost empty. And when my faith bucket gets empty, I think about this prophecy. One of the neatest prophecies I've ever studied. It is accurate to the day. And my faith bucket just starts filling up when I think about it.